Welcome back to another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast presented by Incova Insurance, where we sit down each month to speak with the Ohio State Senior Vice President and Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director to talk about the current state of OSU athletics. My name is Ben Waite, and I'm joined, as always, by Mr. Gene Smith. Gene, first and foremost, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. It's another beautiful day here in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, it's a great day. We actually have a soccer contest tonight. Our men's soccer team takes on that team up north at 6 o'clock. It's going to be a big contest. We have two contests left, and they're very important to our opportunity to be in postseason play. So here we go.
As we're recording this, we're about halfway through the fall season here, and we're preparing for what, by the time this airs, we're hoping was a successful victory in the Horseshoe against Penn State. So how's everything going for all of our teams here, Gene, halfway through the fall season?
Well, they're going well. You know, women's soccer team ended their regular season, and now they will compete. They finished the regular season in the conference and can compete in postseason play for the Big Ten tournament. So they're really excited and have a great opportunity to hopefully win the Big Ten tournament and advance on to the NCAA tournament where you can chase the ultimate crown. And men's soccer has a couple games left, and we'll see where they land. But women's volleyball, they're doing well. They're ranked in the top 10. And actually, this Sunday, we host Michigan State at 1 o'clock in Covelli Arena. So that'll be a big match. And then our men's and women's soccer ice hockey teams have kicked off. And this weekend, we have our men are hosting Michigan State on Friday night and Saturday afternoon. And our women are hosting St. Cloud on Friday night and Saturday afternoon. So hopefully by the time this airs, we got a couple more W's on the ice hockey side of the house. And of course, basketball's right around the corner. Monday, our men play an exhibition game and our women get started after that. So it's that time of year, Ben. Here we go.
I cannot believe it's almost basketball season, but we're excited for everything that's going on here. And for this episode, we wanted to talk to some of the individuals that make Ohio State athletics and our football game day so special. Last year, we became all too aware of how different game days would be without the thousands of loyal fans that create such an amazing atmosphere in the Horseshoe and the hundreds of dedicated employees that act as stewards of our history and traditions here at Ohio State. So this month, we welcome a small group of those committed individuals. And first, as an OSU alum and football season ticket holder for 39 years, our first guest is a proud representative of Northwest Ohio, my home territory, and he is what I consider the first line of defense on the border for the state up north. So we're excited to be joined by Trent Scholler. Trent, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you very much for including me, as I'm sure the rest of the guys are that are on this and not doing it for a job. It's an honor for me, and I feel really fortunate to be included.
Absolutely.
Of course, no Ben since he's been involved, and I've met Gene a couple times. I was a chairman of a YPO chapter up here, and we had an event when Coach Trussell was there, and Gene was kind enough to meet with us and go through the number parts of the athletic department. And I also became friends with a guy who's dealing with some challenges right now out at Washington State, Pat Chun. And he got me involved in the advisory board at the Buckeye Club with Jordan. And so that's kind of how I got to know a lot of these different people personally. Had season tickets since 77, which was my freshman year at Drackett Tower. And so that I just, after I graduated, continued to have season tickets and go down to every game. And, you know, my kids started going when they were three, and we're all Buckeye proud. And, you know, it's just it's just a wonderful place for me. You know, it's the closest thing to heaven I know of.
That's what we like to hear. That's what we like to hear. Now, I believe our second guest that I'm going to introduce has been to more Ohio State sporting events over the last 10 years than I have. And she's enjoying her 37th year as a season ticket holder. And she's coming to us from beautiful and scenic North Canton. We're excited to have Linda Lee joining us. Linda, thanks for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. Actually, it's kind of an anniversary for me because tomorrow was my very first Ohio State game, October 27th, 1972.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yes, I know. I just realized that. And it was Ohio State versus Northwestern. My husband had got two tickets, and I remember it seemed like we walked for miles to get to the stadium. We were in SeaDac. It was hotter than blazes that day. Buckeyes won 60-0, and we stayed till the clock went to zero. And I said the thrill of seeing the band and the team come out on the field, I still have that feeling today, and it's 48 years later. So, you know, I'm a Buckeye fan, and I've had such wonderful memories, and we've gone to tons and tons of games. And fortunately, I retired from Nationwide Insurance, and they have the awesome matching gift program that I've been involved with since the beginning. So that's been a plus for me, and of course for Ohio State. And it's a thrill, you know, I enjoy it. And I know that my contribution is helping to let these student athletes get an education, and I'm proud of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And our final guest here has been an usher, a red coat, and an official tour guide at Ohio Stadium for 25 years now. He is an OSU alum, a Army vet, and the author of The Confessions of an OSU Usher. We're very pleased to be joined by Trevor Zaharas. Trevor, thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks a lot, Ben. I appreciate that. And yes, this is a great year. Not only have I been an usher for 25 years, this is also my 50th anniversary of graduating from The Ohio State University. And you know, we're a real Buckeye family. My wife, we also just celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary too.
Oh my gosh.
She's a Buckeye grad. She's got her graduation, and she graduated in education. And my twin daughters, my twin daughter Laura, she graduated with her master's at Ohio State. My other daughter, she's kind of the black sheep of the family because she went to OU.
Listen, it's still in the state, Trevor.
Just the same, you know, I did have the honor of representing all my fellow ushers and redcoats in writing the book Confessions of an OSU Usher. Actually, you know, over the years, you know, I became good friends with Jim Norris, who was the head of the usher program, and we went out and had many lunches and breakfasts and sat there for hours. And gradually, as the years went on, we added more and more people to our group, and everybody has a story about the Buckeyes. And unfortunately, my good friend Jim passed away in too short of a life. And so I went to Mike Penner and James, who was the, you know, the head of the usher program at that time, and said, gosh, we need to start recording some of these events. And he looked at me and he says, why don't you start? So I started in gathering stories, and boy, it was so much fun listening to all these wonderful stories from my peers. And you know, we did have the opportunity of publishing the book about 6 years ago. So I've had the honor of going around, and I've done over 150 presentations in 17 states, and we've got just a tremendous alumni association. I've been to 17 different states with these alumni associations, from as far away as Tennessee, Raleigh, Charleston, and we've been able to raise money for the scholarship fund, and you know, I try to give back by donating some of the money from some of the sales of the book, and it's just a wonderful opportunity to go out and I've done Rotaries, Kiwanis, adult communities, everybody loves the Buckeyes, and they love hearing the stories, I have had so many interesting stories. Like a little lady, she was in her 90s in Newark. You know, she came up to me and she had tears in her eyes after giving one of my presentations. And this presentation was in a church there in Newark. And there was about 190 ladies in there and one man, besides myself. And this little lady came up to me and she says, you know, your story is reminding me so much of my husband, who was an usher for, you know, over 27 years, and he passed away. But you know, I really love your presentation, and thank you for you know, for coming out and talking to our group. And these are the type of stories that I hear time and time again. You know, it's just been a wonderful opportunity for me to represent, you know, all my, you know, fellow ushers and redcoats.
Absolutely. We appreciate you feeding into that tradition of paying forward and documenting the rich history we have there. Gene, I wanted to start by, we heard a little bit about how these three got involved with Ohio State athletics, but I don't think I've ever asked you, being an Ohio guy growing up, what's your earliest memory of Ohio State?
Oh, wow. Yeah, actually, I have earlier memories, but I will tell you the one that probably most personal is a relationship with John Hicks. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. My sister, my older sister, knew John Hicks extremely well. And there was a former player for Ohio State named Bill Mallory, who was also close to John. So I established, when I was in high school playing football, I established a relationship with John Hicks at that particular time. And he kind of became, you know, an idol to me. And I admired him greatly. So when I was recruited, it was very difficult not to come to Ohio State and go to Notre Dame. Really because of John. He was just so, his stature, his presence, he was just bigger than life to me. When I was back in high school, I think I was a sophomore at the time, and he was just, you know, playing at John Hay and initially, and then going on to Ohio State, he's just motivational for me. And so, that's probably the tie actually from the beginning for me to Ohio State.
Absolutely. Linda, you told me a little bit about your first game at the Horseshoe and how hot it was that day, but when did your connection with Ohio State really get cemented? When did you know that you were hooked and you wanted to be a Buckeye?
Well, actually, my boss at the time of Nationwide, he was a graduate from OSU, and every Monday he'd come in and he'd talk about, oh man, you know, the games were so great. And I'm like, how do you get season tickets? And he goes, well, you got to be a member of the Buckeye Club. And he goes, it's simple, Linda. I joined it, and then it all started. And my husband and I bought a motorhome, traveled to away games and every weekend. And
wow,
you know, I mean, it was what we did every weekend. We loved it. And I had a thrill. My great nephew played for the Buckeyes 2005 is when he was a freshman. And the thrill of seeing him come out in the field was something that I'll remember my whole life. And going to the national championship, you know, 2002, I mean, it didn't get any better than that game. And I'll remember that forever. So, you know, it's been part of my life. And as long as I'm still moving, I'm going to keep on going. So looking forward to the Penn State game.
Absolutely. Trent, you mentioned you've got a big Buckeye family as well. I know you guys, you get to as many games as possible. What does a game day Saturday look like for the Scholler family?
Well, you know, it's different now as opposed to the old days. You got to remember, you know, like I guess some of you folks, you know, I started with Woody Hayes. So it used to be 1 o'clock every day or every Saturday, and that's the way it was. So now it's different. For an example, this weekend, being from Toledo and being old, I can't get home at 3 or 2 in the morning. That just doesn't work for me. Usually I'm in bed by 10. So, you know, I'm lucky if I'm up that late on a normal night. But the case, it changes. We'll leave later this week, spend the night in Dublin and get up Sunday morning and come home. But typically, you know, if it's a noon game or 3:30, we get down there, park in Southfield lot. For years and years and years, decades, we set up a tailgate. And, you know, people that would go to one game every 5 or 6 years would come to our tailgate. And you'd always see new people. And it's fun like that. But I started realizing, it's kind of a pain to set up a tailgate every weekend. It's a lot of work. And I was missing a lot of other good friends' tailgates. And so the last couple of years, we go to several tailgates, but don't host our own particular one. We did for years in the East State lot and then in the South Field House. So we're kind of in a little bit different mode now, but just go down with my wife, who I hope none of you guys hold this against me, but I married a Michigan grad. And yeah, I know. My dad was pretty disappointed. He was pretty disappointed. But whatever the case may be, she ended up going to Ohio State to get her medical degree. So the degree that really matters is from the right place. And she always knew when I came to her. And she always knew whenever I came to her office, she was a pediatrician for 31 years here. And I'd sneak in her office every once in a while and turn her Michigan diploma upside down or inside out or take it off the wall or whatever. And she's 100% committed to Ohio State. Now, you know, some people worry about the money and getting married and stuff. I said, look, this marriage isn't going to work if you're going to be a Michigan fan. So, you know, I know that's shallow on my part, but that's just the way it's going to go. So we go down to the games now and tailgate. I always like to go out hour 45 minutes early so I can see the band and watch them warm up, stay to the end till we sing the alma mater, and then head back to the northern border. And fortunately, because the way things have been going here the last, I think it's 10 years now, Toledo's a much easier place to live in. It used to be miserable because the Michigan guys up there in North under rocks and stuff at this point. But when it was the other way around, guys that were kind of half Mich fans all of a sudden became obnoxious just going into Kroger's. They want to run some crap by it, you know. So, but that's just it. Go down, visit with all kinds of friends and people we know, go to the game, sing the alma mater, come home. That's life. And it's a good day.
Grant, I feel you. I grew up in Toledo. I grew up in the 90s. So it was rough out there on the playground for little Ben Wood.
You probably have more hair if you would have been raised at another time, Ben.
100%.
100%. It was tough, wasn't it, buddy? It was
absolutely tough. 1997, when Charles Woodson started beating up on David Boston, I was ripping out my little elementary school hair. Trevor, I can't even imagine. I mean, obviously, you have so many great stories. You were literally able to fill a book with them. But how did you get started working at Ohio Stadium?
Well, you know, I have been a Buckeye fan for many, many years. Back in the 60s, when I was probably 14 or 15, my cousin and I, drove up and we got tickets to one of the games. And, the security wasn't that, as tight as it is now. And so I just wandered up and stood beside the great Woody Hayes. And, you know, it was a kind of a cold day that day. And Steve, he had his white, short sleeve shirt on. And I was standing there. He kind of looked at me. What the heck's this guy doing? But I stood there. And finally, I just walked away. And that was one of my earliest recognitions. And another time when we were playing that team up north, I was walking down the track side of the field and the TV camera was pointed at me. And, you know, for the longest period, and I didn't think it was on. And later on that night, I got calls from my cousins in California and said, hey, we saw you on TV. You were on there for about 10 seconds. You know, they were filming you walking down the field. But I owe everything, to Ohio State. I spent 4 years in ROTC, which taught me leadership and determination. And I spent 2 years active duty and spent time in Korea. And those 2 years allowed me to develop my leadership capabilities. And I interviewed with the Xerox Corporation. And I had a 37-year career with them. So I owe that to not only Ohio State, but my military career, because I wouldn't have gotten my job at Xerox without the knowledge. When I interviewed for Xerox, I had this interview with the sales manager, and we talked for about 35 minutes about the military. Never talked one time about business or anything like that. And, you know, next thing I knew, I was working with Xerox for 37 years. And 25 years ago, a buddy of mine who was an associate at Xerox, and he was a account manager for Procter & Gamble down in Cincinnati, he and his dad were ushers. His dad started out, and the two of them had 101 years together as ushers at the stadium. So he calls me one night and said, one of the ushers in our portal is moving to Kansas City. He was a sales manager and got promoted. And he said, would you like to be an usher? And so I looked at my wife and said, I'm going to be an usher at the stadium. And that's how I became an usher. 25. It's a little bit more tight now. You have to go through the interview process, which I have helped in those interviews, over the years, because of my sales manager responsibilities, and so that has allowed me, not only to to be a good leader in the usher program, but all the capabilities that I learned within Xerox and how to make a PowerPoint presentation, how to put a book together, how to create a Word document, things like that you ordinarily wouldn't know how to do unless you've had that many, many years of experience. So that helped me put the book together. And being a self-published author, everything was all brand new to me, including, how to get a book published through Ohio State. As Gene knows, it's, with the branding and so forth, they've got to be very, very careful. And I can't believe how much support I had, from Mike Penner and from Erica and James at that time, and Gene, you. I mean, without your support, I would never have gotten the book through. And finally, I sat down with Rick Van Brimmer, and he spent about a half an hour with me, and he says, okay, this is what we need to do. It took me three times before I could get my cover published, because I first, it was Confessions of an LSU Usher. So I thought it'd be great to have the stained glass windows, and being the Catholic boy that I am, I really like that. and they said, no deal. That's proprietary information of Ohio State. You can't use a cover. And so the next cover I had was Scarlet and Gray. And they said, oh, nope, can't do that. That screams of Ohio State. You can't use that. And so finally, I did get it together. And it's been just a tremendous run from there.
Rick Van Brimmer's out there with tight strings on the branding, as it needs to be. But Gene, I wanted to ask you too, Gene, what I don't think a lot of people may know this, but what does a typical home Saturday look like for you with all of the different sports we have going on, and then obviously football at the Shoe?
Well, to Trent's point earlier, it's just so different based upon the game time. If it's a noon game, like we have for Oregon, for example, it's a 5:30, first meeting is 5:30 in the morning with public safety. And then we have a cascading of public safety meetings between really starting at 5:30, going all the way to 8:30. And sometimes I'll pop over to the band room and meet with the ushers or just be in the room. Now where Evan and others run those meetings, but so really that time frame is huge for me for the Penn State game, which is a 7:30 kick. The security meetings at noon, so I'll start at noon, and then there's just a series of things in between that. As I build up to the game, I'll usually go and try and check on the talent, whoever's broadcasting the game, and have some chit chat with them. I'll swing by the Blackwell, see our team, make sure they're okay and set up okay and get out of their way. Actually, I do that on Friday nights as well, depending upon what else is going on Friday night. Always trying to find time to run by the Blackwell, see how they're doing. But game days, and you know, there's recruits on campus. I may end up at the shot with basketball recruits, and the president has a pregame huddle at the RPAC. So I usually have to, this week, the Penn State game, I have to speak at 6. So I sometimes may have a former player with me, depends upon what's going on, and they'll speak. So it's just a grind of a day until I get in my seat. And I'm blessed to have my wife is phenomenal. We have a suite with donors in the suite. And when I sit down, they know I'm watching the game. I'm locked in. I'm going to work. As soon as I sit down, everybody understands I'm going to work. Because on Sunday mornings, I have to be crying and have conversations, or sometime during the day on Sunday, we'll talk a little bit about the game. Or sometimes, depending upon the game, it might be after the game. But most of the times, it's on Sunday. And I usually have my questions, and same questions all you would have. Why this and why not that? But fortunately with Ryan, I know frankly what he's going to do typically before Saturday, because he and I will chat on typically around Thursday, and he'll tell me what the game plan is, or sometimes Friday, tell me what the game plan is, so I know what I'm watching for. So my Saturdays are a grind, and they just go. Until I sit in that seat, then I'm having fun.
Then he's locked in. Yeah. There's the Waite family has a Sunday morning rewatch, whether it's a home or away game. We rewatch the game every single Sunday morning. And when I say we, I mean my beautiful and understanding wife allows me to do that with our 7-month-old daughter.
I will tell you, Ben, sometimes just like the Indiana game, we get back obviously until Sunday morning, but my beautiful wife allows me to watch the game as soon as I get into the condo. So,
oh my gosh.
I usually don't go to sleep right away.
You're just too keyed up?
I just too keyed up when I watch the game again like an idiot.
the games where you win by 50, though, I could rewatch that 30, 40 different times and never get told. Linda, I wanted to ask you, I know you mentioned the national championship in 2002 and what a fond memory that is. I was wondering what your favorite memory in the horseshoe is.
Well, like I said, my great nephew playing there and seeing him come out of the tunnel, and just watching him play the game was a thrill for me. And he made this huge big tackle in the end zone on a Michigan guy. And that was a memory I always remember. So, But that's probably my favorite, actually, that game.
And let me ask Ben, let me ask her, Linda, if you had to pick one tradition in pregame or halftime, what one tradition do you really hold dear?
The Script Ohio is it for me. I mean, I love to see the enthusiasm, and when the player, the band person does dot in the eye, you can just see the excitement on their face. So to me, that's a thrill every week.
Awesome. Trent, what about you?
Oh, I've got some great memories, besides being at the national championship game in 2002, the big game, the game of the century with that team up north back in 2006. Remember that one, the 42-39? Ooh, yeah. Wow. Before I was an usher, that big game with North Carolina State, remember that one where we had the triple overtime? And you know who the quarterback was for North Carolina State at that time? Phillip Rivers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a great game, but you talk about traditions. Being a usher, stadium guide, and that's been so much fun. And it's interesting the people that come in. We do hundreds of events a year. Most people think, they got that big stadium. What do you? We're busy. We probably had over 30 events just this week. And with the pandemic, we're down from about 18 tour guides to down to 11. So that means we do quite a bit. But just last week, first thing I do is ask people when they come in, have you been to a high state game? And only one of the six guys And the one guy moved his hat around, Clemson. Five of the guys were from Clemson, and they were in for a wedding. And it's amazing. You know, we've had people, touring people from China, and only one person could speak English in the group. That was a tremendous event, because, you know, I would tell what I thought was a funny story, and then I would tell the interpreter, and then a couple of minutes later, they'd all start laughing. it's just interesting. You know, I had a family in, and you know, they get to go, you know, start off at the rotunda, go to our incredible band room, do in the recruit room, and then they go down the tunnel and get their picture taken on the 50. And at this one family, they did the OHIO, and they had a 4-month-old baby. And they dotted the I with a 4-month-old baby. you know, Trent, you had talked about tailgating. Well, about 3 years ago, I started documenting, you know, some of the events that our ushers and redcoats and Schottenstein staff. And I've been going around to all the different tailgating, and I've started, I've got about 19 chapters outlined for my new book called Buckeye Tailgate. And that has been so exciting. And there is just so many fantastic fans out there, you know, and these decorated vans and ambulances. And we got the Heisman Hauler, we got the Woody Wagon, it's been an incredible amount of fun. And Gene, whenever I up in the press box, you know, I always show them we're WBNS and Paul Keels, you know, the voice of the Buckeyes, and they said, "Oh, this is where our athletic director gets to entertain entertain during the games." And I don't know if you all know this story or not, but Gene, you told me this story. You know, being a Notre Dame a football player, everybody knows the story about Rudy, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, he never got a chance to get into a couple plays until his senior year. And a couple of defensive players left the field so that Rudy can go in and make that final play. None other than our athletic director, Gene Smith. Mm-hmm. So I tell that story on the tour. And they always ask me, says, how do you get to sit in that fantastic suite by Gene Smith. I gave my business card, and I says, "Hey, just show my business card. Mm-hmm. That'll let you in." People start showing up on my business card, Gene.
Trevor, from now on, you need to be handing out my business card them know, you know, if they want to make a generous contribution to support athletics here at Ohio State, and we'll make sure that they get anywhere that they want to be.
But
Trent, what's your favorite tradition on game days?
Favorite tradition? I guess I'd have to say my favorite tradition is singing the alma mater at the end. That's probably my favorite tradition. I mean, I'm a softie, so I hear that song and sing that song, and whether we won or lost, I get teased by my wife and kids because it would not be out of line for me to have a tear rolling, because it just, it means so much to me. I've had, you know, as you guys were talking about all these memories and stuff, and man, there are just so many memories, and it just sort of wells all up into that song when I'm singing it. I start thinking about it. It's good. Really, really good. It's God, so many good memories. I mean, especially as a student, I mean, you know, I remember getting my diploma there, you know, and walking out after I've already had a bunch of great memories there. And it's just, I don't know how to explain it. You know, it's just so special. And I mean that to my kids too. And it's, you know, it's just wonderful. So, but I'd have to say singing, you know, I mean, you know, there's so many other things that you do on game day that are special, but if I had to pick just one, that'd probably be it. We can thank Coach Tressel for that, right? I don't think we did that before him.
No, we did. No, he instituted that. I mean, that's really great.
That's a good move.
Yeah. I love the raising of the flag. I'm always in my seat and just wait for ROTC to start that process. I remember when I first came in 05, I when I first saw it, and then I started watching it. And I always said that someday that ROTC person is going to run into that flagpole and bounce off.
That did happen.
I heard about that.
Yeah. I wrote about that in my book.
But I just love that part. I get so tied up in that one, and it was the raising of the flag, but also watching, you know, people who serve our country and give us everything they have. Watching them raise that flag, it just just moves me. I kind of get all jacked up about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And Trevor, to your tailgate story, I heard from Don Bagnoli, who owns an ambulance, that you're going to interview him. Or
I got a great story from that. I had a Zoom broadcast with them just last week. They're tremendous. I got some great stories, so. But I got a special request for you. Okay, yeah. You talk about the flag raising, and back in the 50s. There was a tradition started in 1919 to play taps for all the people that were all the Ohio State grads that were killed in the world. That tradition, you know, was every week they played taps, and now it's just like once a year. And I thought that would be a great tradition to start back up, you know, after a pandemic year. And, if we could, you know, because there's only a small amount of people that attend that ceremony outside of Bricker Hall.
Right. And
wouldn't that be a great, great tradition to start back up, after, you know, the losing so many people, 700 and, you know, thousands of OSU grads.
Yeah, it's a great idea, Trevor. You know, Ben, that's something for us to talk about with getting my operations for the military game. Mm-hmm. We have a military appreciation game every year. So I think it's Purdue this year. So we'll think about that. That's a great idea.
It's a fantastic idea. Trevor, you mentioned that started in 1919. Is that what you said?
1919, yeah.
1919. That's just around when the stadium got dedicated. All you fine folks have helped fill it over the last 99 years now, and we're getting ready to celebrate the Horseshoe's 100th year, which is hard to believe, next year in 2022. And that place, I know, it means so much to all of us here at OSU Athletics, and obviously all of you folks as well. And it wouldn't be that special place without people like you, Linda, Trent, and Trevor, and helping make those game days so special. And we just really appreciate you guys taking some time to share your stories with us and tell us about your connection with Ohio State Athletics. And it means a lot to me, and I know it means a lot to Gene as well. We want to tell you how much we appreciate you joining us, Linda, Trent, Trevor. Thank you again. We really appreciate your time. And that'll do it for another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast, nice, presented by Encova Insurance. Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate everyone who has listened and subscribed this far. Until next time, we'd like to wish you all well and hope you're staying healthy and safe. For Gene Smith and everyone here at Ohio State Athletics, I am Ben Waite. Be well and go Bucks.
Thank you.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.